We're happy to have with us right now former Browns offensive lineman Wally Williams. Wally, welcome to the show.
Vic, thank you, man. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, it's great. And you played for the Browns, of course, 1993 to 95. And then when the team moved to Baltimore, you were part of that, 96 to 98. Finished your career in New Orleans, 99 to 2003. Wally, I want to just start, first of all, with some of those memories of being part of those last teams before the Browns had that pause, and then the new Browns were formulated. What was that like?
It was a bunch of highs and lows on many different levels. I mean, just the rush of being a part of an NFL team and, you know, coming out of a small college like Florida A&M and being able to become a professional athlete and start your career here in Cleveland with the fanfare and, you know, everything that the fans have always been in representation of their team. I mean, it was a great experience. You know, that was definitely a high of coming here and actually having some success early in the early, you know, Belichick days.
Yeah,
you know, we had to get over that hump to get the Steelers in the playoffs in 94, but right. Couldn't beat those guys that particularly. I think we lost to them three times that season. And just being right there and being on the cusp of possibly becoming a pretty solid team to all of a sudden moving and, you know, just not having a clear future on what you would do next and really not knowing what would become of the organization.
There was so much about that era that really resonates, and you still talk about it to this day, people do. One, Bill Belichick as head coach, and we know what Bill Belichick has gone on to become, winning those Super Bowls and getting the Patriots to the Super Bowls. What was the guy that you see and have seen do such great things with the Patriots, how is he in any way different from the guy you saw and played for here?
You know, everybody goes through their changes. I mean, you learn a lot of lessons in this game. You learn a lot of lessons as an individual just in life. And I'm sure, you know, Bill has changed some of the things that he does. But I want to guarantee you he's about 70% to 80% the same individual that was here in Cleveland. I mean, you have to understand that the things that he brought to the table from a coaching aspect to having a player prepared for a particular game, you know, they talk about the Spygate situation and all those things. Well, you know, hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Okay. And I believe in that. It may be an underlining thing that nobody wants to talk about,
right,
you know, in being in competitive sports, but
yeah.
Look, it is what it is, and he
That's
found
a Belichickism too.
There you go, and you know, if he could find a way to get an edge, to have his team prepared, because he would do things for the benefit of his team. He wants his players prepared, and it's up to you to take on the challenge to actually buy in his system. And he was on the brink of doing that here.
Yeah,
and it's just unfortunate that we had to move, and you know, it just had to change, and he went a different way.
So you could sense, you could see the qualities that have taken with him, that he obviously had with him or took with him to New England that applied there, have worked there. You could see that coming up. And it isn't like you saw the New England success and said, man, where was that when we were in Cleveland? Because obviously teams are different, personnel is different. They didn't have a guy named Tom Brady playing quarterback here, so I know that's a big part of it too, but or a talent like that. But you were definitely seeing a guy capable of doing what he did.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, the way he prepared us, not only as offensive linemen, and this is a defensive-minded coach. He has a defensive background.
Yeah.
He knew what we were doing from an offensive line perspective. Would come in our meetings, tell us our reads, and he would also help us understand how to make those reads by looking at coverage. So as an offensive lineman, you're thinking about the five guys in front of the four guys you got to block in front of you. Yeah.
Right.
But we also learned as rookies, young guys, to understand coverage, cover one, cover two, whether it's man-to-man, all those things like that, which are going to dictate some of the things that go up front. And as a center, I play a center, it helped me make my calls. And from a coaching standpoint, I'm not knocking any other coaches I've had, any other part of my career, but from a coaching standpoint and from understanding details of professional football, nobody can touch what Bill Belichick brings to the table.
And the other part of this, of course, is that the team moves. And it's a sad, crushing to this day for people to think about it. Even though, again, you get the Browns back again and going again in 1999, just that thought of having it all ripped away after that 95 season, so crushing. And you were part of it as a player. And again, for you, your job continued in another city, in another uniform. So from that standpoint, you were still a football player, but Cleveland lost the football team then.
Right.
How palpable was that feeling for you to see how that impacted this area?
It was, I had a home here. I live right down the street in Berea and was into my third year, I guess, to the point of actually becoming somewhat comfortable in my shoes of being a professional athlete and, of course, being, you know, a Cleveland Brown. And to have that, you know, as a player – ripped up right in front of you. I mean, it was very unselling. It was unselling to us as players. You know, a lot of guys, the Tony Joneses of the world,
right.
The Eric Turners, Stevon Moores, all those guys have been veterans on the team. And, you know, to having them, who they had an established foundation there with family and everything, to be
sure.
Uprooted and to move into a city where we didn't know what was going on. I mean, we had to be there at the end of our season. I think that year was in January.
Okay.
And we had to all report there by April, which is moving your families, you know, kids,
it's
finding
not a lot
home.
Of time. Move,
yeah, I mean,
it's
not a lot of time. And when we got there, we only knew, everybody knew one area to live in and
sure.
maybe one shopping center. And that's what you knew going into the off season and those things. So it was, it was very unsettling for us as players. You know, I know from a ownership standpoint, Art Modell had to make a decision, and all that bureaucracy stuff, that's not my deal. You know, we just had to deal with it on our level, and we were just as hurt, you know, as players and as, you know, the guys that were in the community doing things as anybody else. And it's still somewhat shocking to this day that period exists, you know, with an organization like the Cleveland Browns.
Wally Williams, former Browns offensive guard and center, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And Wally, the fans, because for them it was so hard. And you're part of a community, being on this football team in that time, four seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was or three. I'm sorry, three seasons, right? 93,
yeah,
94,
yeah, three
95.
Seasons. Yes,
three seasons. That's long enough. And you settled back here, so you made a connection with this community.
Yes.
That's long enough to know what the Browns, all their tradition, all that history, the attachment between the people and the team, and seeing it taken away from them. How hard was that for you to see from the fan standpoint?
Very hard, very hard. I mean, look, this is one of those organizations that has an immaculate history. You know, a lot of Hall of Famers, and this is one of those organizations as a kid that you see that okay. If I have the opportunity to become a professional athlete, then that is a team I would like to play for. Those are some colors that you want to be around, and you want to be identified with that history. I mean, come on. You know, who would not want to be identified with, you know, in my time probably Jim Brown was,
yeah.
you know, the legacy guy. I mean, who would want – you want to be a part of that.
Sure.
And you want to be identified as that. And when the news actually came that the team would be moving, and I can sit and tell you from a Baltimore player standpoint how it felt being in a football game and playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cincinnati Bengals, where it's almost like you're looking at the NFL through a face mask, but mm-hmm. you don't identify with the Baltimore team
sure.
because it's new.
Right.
Nobody knows the history of the Baltimore team. I mean, you're kind of making history as you go,
right.
but it's not like being identified with the history of a legendary team like the Browns and establish yourself with the, you know, legendary players like Jim Brown and Otto Grahams and
sure.
Paul Warfield. It's just not the same feeling of being in that uniform.
Yeah, I mean, the Ravens would certainly go on to define themselves and have their, you know, set their own sort of new history separate from the Baltimore Colts. And I guess to a certain degree or a great degree, they had their own history separate from the Browns, except that Ozzie Newsome is the GM there. And, there's a great attachment there. And,
right.
and they're having all that success. But nonetheless, you play there, and then you finish your career with the Saints. And this was kind of interesting, right, because you were part of a regime there that included Mike Ditka, and doing some outrageous thing, not the least of which was trading an entire draft for Ricky Williams.
Right. I mean, I'm a Mike Ditka fan. Okay. I was one of those kids who really got caught up and engulfed in the 86 Bears and,
yeah.
and what they were doing, and Walter Payton and all those guys. So I was the coach. I was a fan. And when he came knocking on my door, you know, and it gave me an opportunity to become a Saint, I mean, I didn't need to see too much. I didn't care about the history. I didn't care
right.
about the Aints. You know, I'm here to change all of that. I'm here with Mike Ditka to do
sure.
it. So, you know, I was on the bandwagon immediately. And did I know that it was going to be a draft where he traded away for one player? No, I was not consoled.
You didn't consult you?
I was not consulted, Rob.
Were you inconsolable? I mean, how hard? Because you know what it means to not, you know, you need help in other places, and a draft isn't giving you that help.
Yeah, and look, Ricky Williams will still be. You know, I played on some teams where we had some solid running backs, and I think that Ricky, he had the potential to be as great as the expectation. I mean, he was as hard as a worker on the field as I've ever seen. And yeah, he had his off-the-field problems, but I'm talking about at practice, on the field, when he was focused, he was as hard as a worker as I've ever seen at that position.
He's showing that with the Ravens, and he showed that certainly at times with the Dolphins. So he's – right, he went on to show you some of those things that you didn't see in the world.
Exactly. He was very capable, you know, but it was a fiasco – At the least, and bringing him in, and you know, he came in with a contract was based on his rushing yardage and all kinds of things. And Master P was his agent, which was very popular in New Orleans at that particular time. Yeah. And you know, it was just more of a circus than really getting down to business and trying to win games.
And bring us up to date on you. What are you up to? I know you're living in the area here in Northeast Ohio, and what are you up to these days?
Well, aside of raising three teenagers, which are 17, 17, 15, 13, and my youngest son is 8 years old. I'm doing a little bit of radio and television in the Baltimore area, working with the CBS affiliate over there, 105.7 The Fan, and WJZ doing television work with those guys over there, and Mark Viviano and that crew over there at CBS. Do some work at Masson. You know, we do a show over there with Tom Davis and Bruce Laird.
Okay.
Touchdown Baltimore.
Wow.
And really try to spend as much time as I have right now with my kids. That's really the focus, because I know I'm going to start getting itchy here in the next 3 or 4 years, okay, and getting back out of the house and maybe getting involved in coaching and spending those 16-hour days, you know, doing something else. But retirement has been quite well. This game is treated me quite well. I was able to, you know, become a undrafted free agent coming into Cleveland and was ultimately a franchise player in Baltimore, and you know, and hey, I made a little bit of money.
I was going to say that path from Florida A&M, a small school, undrafted free agent, and you carved out yourself a very nice career.
Yeah, you know, and I'm very fortunate. I'm very appreciative of all those things. Now, you know, I tell kids all the time at my son's high school, like, look, I'm living proof of, you know, you actually can make it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you can't. You know, a lot of you kids don't get opportunity, but you can make it if you put forth the effort and you're dedicated. So, let's be dedicated to win some games.
I love that. Wally, thank you so much. Right. Appreciate you having you with us. He is Wally Williams, former offensive guard and center, played for the Browns, and had a nice NFL career as well overall. And he's joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now, EA Sports. It's in the game.